Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. So Ronel Blanco, 44 outs before his first hit allowed, most by a pitcher to begin a season in at least the expansion era, since 1961. The prior record was 35 outs. Austin Cox, Josh Hader, who, by the way, is giving up a lot of hits now. He's not that same 2020 Josh Hader. And Brad Klontz. They started the season with 35 outs before the first hit allowed. But let me ask you guys this question. If the first hit allowed is by a steroid freak, is it count? Does it count as a hit or not?
Yeah, we're baseball. We're baseball. We allowed steroid freaks to
because
play.
Adolis Garcia.
Well, if you get caught, you get in trouble. But yeah, no, it still counts. It still
holy
counts.
Crap, Adolis Garcia. It just is free. It's cartoonish what he's looking like now.
I care way less about that than I do him grabbing his mom's stuff. I mean, that's
Aroldis Chapman.
No.
Oh wait. Oh, Aroldis Garcia. When he got
Adolis Garcia and Aroldis Chapman.
I'm reading the story now. Getting a hit. Okay, not allowing a hit. Adolis is clearly, allegedly. I'm alleging that it's... You alleged that he is a steroid freak. So I'm going off what the streets are saying. What the streets are saying. And since the streets are saying that, yes, he does look like... Especially when I saw pictures of what he used to look like, it's very curious. It's got a lot
freakish.
Of Sammy Sosa to it. Like, hey, this looks way different. Or Mark McGwire. Yeah. Hey, or Barry Bonds, or any of these guys. We've seen it before. Why would we not think that Garcia is the same way? But Garcia will ruin. If you are an Astro, he will ruin you. I mean, this has clearly become one of my... I despise seeing him come up to the plate.
Yeah. No, he even ruined, he ruins everything. He even ruined Ronel Blanco's no-hit streak.
Yep.
I mean, for F's sake. And that was going to be his last batter.
Got off on Hunter Brown the other day. Garcia is a nemesis.
Yeah, Ronel Blanco wasn't nearly as efficient in yesterday's game as he was in his no-hitter. But he's still good. Still so good, he only gave up one hit. But he was a little bit wild, a little out of control. But man, it's good to see. It is good to see Ronel Blanco stepping up like this. And with JV coming back, 65 pitches now. We'll find out what the schedule is for JV. When he comes back, some decisions to be made. Either you go to a six-man rotation or somebody's got to go.
Did you see JV
and that's somebody.
Yesterday? Did you
Pardon
see
me?
That performance?
JV's, yeah, 7 runs.
Ooh, it was bad. I talked to somebody who was there, and they said it was gross.
Yeah, but I don't know what he was working on. Is he just throwing, we don't know.
I imagine you're trying to get people out.
I don't know. He might not have been.
Whatever he was working on was not good.
Right. Well, right.
I mean you'd like for, if you're working on it, you'd like to, I mean, what working on never really means is I'm going to let you hit this hard. That's not what you work on.
No, I'm trying to get my curveball down. I'm trying to find, and I don't care about getting you out. I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to get my pitches the way I want to throw them.
I hope that's what happened.
Right.
I hope he wasn't trying to get anybody out.
JV doesn't need to get minor league outs. He's got to get ready for the major league season. So I don't know. We don't know. We'd have to hear from him on on whether or not.
But you still
want to
throw good pitches, John.
Yeah, you do. You do. But
getting guys out, you're not throwing good pitches.
No, you can also throw very hittable pitches, but you're just trying to work on stuff. That's all. That's not true. You're not trying to get...
This isn't spring training.
His spring training. It's exactly what it is.
But, John, he's trying to throw pitches that you can't hit, too. Even if you throw any pitch you – that's like shooting. That's like saying a shooter who's just working on stuff and he doesn't care if the ball goes in the net.
No, it's not. It's not even close to the same thing, Lance.
Why?
It's not even – there are plenty of pitchers, in while they're getting ready for the season, are trying to work on certain pitches,
like,
not trying to get guys out.
But you're acting like they're mutually exclusive. They're not. You can work on stuff and try to make guys swing and miss.
Well, yeah, obviously. But you could. Are you sure that in spring training or when you're getting ready for a season that you're going to throw the same pitch sequences?
Okay, are you sure that he wasn't trying to get that he
I
wasn't
have no idea. I said
well,
he might have.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I said he might have been. He might have been. I don't know. You don't know. We
might
don't
have
know.
Been a bad outing.
It might have been. It might have been. Yeah, but it also could have been he's working on stuff. That's all. I don't care what he did at the minor league level, if you want to know. And I'm sure he doesn't either. You know,
I like former Cy Young Award winners who get people out in the minor leagues. I like that.
That's what you like.
I like that. I want my former Cy Young Award winners to get guys out on the AAA level.
Yeah, I don't think that's asking too much.
Even if you're working on things, I prefer you don't get shelled. Like, you want to work on things, give a couple hits, I get it. But let's not have the equivalent of the Savannah Bananas
right.
rake you around the yard.
What
I don't want Clark Trudeau and
right.
Barry Durner, you know,
what
you
it is more like, it's not at all like a shooter shooting baskets. What it is more like is like a preseason NFL game where you don't game plan, where you just go out there and you run some plays.
But
that's
you
what
want
you, that's
execution.
What it's more like.
You always want execution, though.
Yes,
that's
you always
want
execution.
The only thing I'm saying is, you want to execute, and clearly he didn't execute or he wouldn't have gotten raked. You got to execute. And so that's all. It's one performance, but he's also an older pitcher who had an arm issue that popped up before a season even started. And the Astros stink right now. It's all a concern for me. It's all, I know we're still early, but there are, the Hunter Brown thing hasn't cleaned itself up. There are some things I like with the batting, with the lineup, though. I will admit, there's some things. I like that Jeremy Pena seems to be showing up again.
Yes.
That's
nice. I don't like that the only runs they scored in one inning again.
I know.
You know, 1 3-run homer.
Show us some crooked.
And that's it. And
yeah,
they shut it down.
Other than
that. It's becoming alarming. This lineup is so much better than it is showing. I mean, they have zero clutch hitting. It is. It's amazing how brutal they are right now. But it is early, and this is still the greatest team that the Astros will ever have. But, man, they just suck right now, if you want to know the truth. They got the win yesterday, thanks to Ronel Blanco once again, and thanks to 1 3-run homer. But Josh Hader didn't look good. Jose Abreu is absolutely the worst hitter in baseball. Maybe worse than Anthony Rendon.
Bagwell-Lytics sucks.
Bagwell-Lytics really, really have hurt this team. Montero did come in and throw a nice inning, got a strikeout, and didn't give up a hit. So that was nice. That Bagwell-Lytics worked. The Jose Abreu Bagwell-Lytics, not working. Not working at all. It is awful. And the only other option that you have is John Singleton. What a disaster first base is right now. It has got to be the weakest hitting first base in all of baseball. I don't think that's even arguable. It's got to be the weakest hitting, and that's maybe of any position. Remember, Maldonado he captured that the worst hitting position in all of baseball. Maldonado owned it, and now Jose Abreu and John Singleton got it. Congratulations, guys! It's got to be the worst. It has to be. I don't know that it could possibly be worse. Certainly not at first base, but maybe in all of any position. It might be the worst. So that's an awesome way to start that season right there. I thought Jose Abreu had turned a corner in the postseason. Apparently not. That time off, his back must be hurting again because, man, he just sucks.
Or maybe he's an old player who's on the decline, and we need to start remembering that old players get bad. That's what happens for everybody. It's just a matter of when it happens. And he was showing decline numbers with the White Sox, despite having won, you know, the Astros had a lot of things come together for them in the last couple weeks. We were this close to not making the playoffs. Honestly, this team is looking more like the team that maybe shouldn't have made the playoffs last year as opposed to the team that had a lot of things come together and got them to another ALCS. And Abreu's year, for the most part, blew yet last year. Wasn't a good year last year. You know, we can hang on to what he was very best at when he was at his best. But the fact is, so far, Abreu is not good in 2 years. Well, not 2 years. 1 year and just the beginning of the second year. It ain't looking great. And he's an older player. This could just be the the trail end for him. I don't know if he gets a new contract. He's a 2-year guy, right? This is the last year with the Astros. So I don't know that anyone's going to be beating the door down for Abreu. It's going to be a lot like Yuli, I think, where all of a sudden you just think, man, when they lose it, they lose it.
Yeah. I don't. He's lost it. It is awful. It is hard to watch him. Hard to watch him at the plate. And you know what, Joe? You got to move him down in the lineup. That's all. He's got to be eighth. He cannot be coming up right after Yiner. He just can't. Move Chaz up. Move Pena up and move him down because that's where he belongs. He belongs to be. But you don't want him clogging the bases at nine either. So keep move him down. He's got a bad eighth from now on. Because you just can't have that dude up with good hitters on base in front of him. You just can't. One thing you can do is get a broker for your mortgage. Brokers are better, more experienced, and better and a better deal. 75% of the public is doing it wrong. Don't do it wrong. If you were buying a house or you're in the market to buy a house, call Kent. Because Kent at Dream Rate is the ultimate mortgage hookup. Dude is going to work it harder than any of these other companies that put their names on bowl games. That's just volume. They're just trying to get through them. Listen, he's got all of the different loans that you want: Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, LTV, PM. He can do it all. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know anything about this. I know. I spent more because I didn't have Kent Jones on my side. I didn't use Kent when I bought my house. I know I spent more than I had to. He's saving people money all the time. So look, you're looking for the best way to get that mortgage. Get the ultimate mortgage hookup. Kent at Dream Rate Mortgage, 713-520-5626. That's 713-520-LOAN or go to 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, Luca can talk now. Luca can talk during the game. And, he's always, he complains about everything to the refs. It's just sickening. Every shot, he's complaining to the refs. He also had something for Ime as he was going down the court. And Ime was asked by Tim McMahon, you know, what did he say to you? And Ime said, I don't know. I don't speak Slovenian. So I don't know what he said. But Ime also talked about, what did you think about the Amen Thompson ejection?
He got a pretty good shove in there.
That was pretty good. And then, listen, did you see?
It was in the neck area. Like, I wasn't shocked with it. You know, the Rockets might be getting a little bit of a reputation.
Yeah. And you know what? That's good. But did you see on the other end of the court? He gave him a shot on the other end, too. It was both ends of the floor.
So then what did he do to deserve it? That's what I need. I need context. As Twitter would say, I need more context.
Are you victim blaming?
Yeah.
I need more context.
Listen, Thompson, Amen might have been the victim here.
What
right?
did he say? Was there a racial slur? Did he say something about his mom? Did somebody get punched in the face?
Are you going after one of your own, Maxi Kleber, saying?
Did somebody grab? Twitter's taught me a lot of things. You just have to assume that the absolute worst thing happened and that everything is justified. Well, so I'm going to say, until I get more context on this, Amen Thompson should have stayed in the game.
Yeah, if your guy is the one who's been punished, obviously he wouldn't have done it without something egregious happening to him. So what did Maxie Kleber say to him?
Yeah, do we know?
We don't know.
Do we know what he said? I don't know. Did he say something about his mom? Did he grab him in the junk? Did he try to do the LSU fan? I don't know.
Did he say something like, it's Sunday, I bet they are saying amen once you're off the floor? I don't know. What did he say, right?
Yeah.
What did he say? What stupid thing did Maxie Kleber say to Amen Thompson?
Yeah. I mean, Amen doesn't – have you seen him do that before? Somebody obviously did something to make him
mad. Well, no, I have. Amen ain't taking nothing off nobody.
Wait, that's what I'm saying. He won't take anything off you, but he didn't start it, but he'll finish it.
Yeah, he does finish it, that's for sure. Well, here's Ime talking about – and getting he thinks LeBron is soft. He thinks the league is soft too.
Nowadays, anything's a flagrant too. That might have been a normal technical 10 years ago, but they get in a bumping match, and if he's grabbed and gets the guy off him, like I said, it's a little soft nowadays. So you got to understand that and know how they're gonna call it.
So
soft ass league.
This is a soft ass league.
I'm telling you, there'd be so many football coaches who love Ime Udoka.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got that same energy. This league.
He's great. He is great. And his team played tough right up until the end. I don't know. I don't agree with him not fouling, but that's, you know what?
They're eliminated.
So many coaches.
Can you, man, what an unbelievable knockout blow. Just, it took one game and the Rockets just fell completely apart. Fell apart. I mean, they were on the verge. They were 0.5 at one point behind the Warriors. Then there was the Warriors come out to play, and we were all excited. And then, bang, eliminated from the playoffs. I mean, just slaughtered.
Well, then the schedule got them, too.
Yeah, no, there were some favorable games in that schedule. I was pointing that out, and it is always, what about the Cavaliers? What about the Cleveland game? It was a good game.
That was a good
game.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from our team when they went on that run. Yeah. 11
you
in a row.
You gotta beat teams. They weren't beaten. They won games on the road.
Yeah.
Did you get to hear Don Staley's post game? If you did not hear what Don Staley said post game, there's a couple things. We'll play both of them. One of them is she was very, very at the end of everything. She came back and wanted the microphone again from Holly Rowe. And she was very complimentary of not only Iowa, but especially Caitlin Clark. I want you to hear that. But her postgame, her original postgame commentary is something that let's just say Jesus is having quite a moment right now in the world of sports with postgame thank yous from – we see it a lot with C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. We saw it with Offensive Defensive Rookie of the Year. But somebody put together a video with Don Staley that I think you're going to want to hear, John. It's 8:26. When we come back, we will play.
We should play it now because we got Ship Talk on the other side.
Oh, we got Ship Talk. Okay, let's play it now. Here's Don Staley, John. It's been edited a little bit, although her words have not been edited. But Don Staley went to church on people yesterday.
I got to give honor to the Most High God for allowing us to be back at the same place in which we had sad tears. And I just want you to know that the God I serve, that he closes a door, he opens up a door that's giving you unimaginable success. This is uncommon favor. We serve an unbelievable God. We serve uncommon favor. Uncommon favor.
That's how you know you're at a black church, John. You hear that organ?
That.
You didn't hear that organ at that church, did you?
Yes, they did have an organ, though.
Did it sound like that?
Yeah. It didn't sound like that.
All right, then.
How good was that splice, the added job that people did to put the church organ in their comment? And those were unedited. That's what she said after.
Yeah.
Man.
We just added a track underneath, that's all.
John, that you got to love that, John. You
gotta, that is sweet. Boy, she Jesus also was.
A big post game. He's big in the post games these days.
Yep.
He's big.
He is. God is having a great post game right now. She also did have some really nice things to say about Caitlin Clark, which was nice.
See, John, I know you had a side. I don't know about in this game, but you had a side in the Iowa LSU game. If you want God to be praised, pick the Southern Black women to win, because that's how it goes. Dawn Staley, would Caitlin Clark have done that, John? Would you have gotten that from Caitlin Clark?
Yeah. Would she have praised?
Well, apparently you didn't get that from Kim Mulkey either.
Okay. Kim's a different breed
Kim
altogether.
Kim Mulkey's a bona fide hater.
She's a hater of everything. She's gonna take her shots.
Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Step up. I wish she would do that to somebody her own, Fallujah Johnson. If you're going to do that, Cordosa, I bet she don't do it to Angel Reese. She'll catch a smooth ass kicking. Four people. You saw, we'll jump up from out of the stands on your ass, Cordosa. Like, man, Kim Mulkey, you got to calm down.
Or otherwise known on this show, the Big Brazilian.
The Big Brazilian.
The Big Brazilian.
By the way, Coach Reese said, I don't like women whose feet hang off the bed and who have bigger shoes than me. That's something to live by.
That's a big woman. That is a big woman. We breaking it here. Ship Talk is next on here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell has compiled what happened over the weekend with some Ship Talk. That'll happen next. Right now, though, Artisan Grange is happening. Right now, the Canstead and the Dew Blend. The Canstead and the Dew Blend are the way that you get out of the dip that you're dipping right now. You still get that sensation. You want that between your cheek and gum. You want that feeling. You want that sensation. But you don't want the nicotine. You don't want the tobacco. You just don't need that in there. You know what? It's not. It's not natural. And it's causing a lot of problems health-wise for a lot of people. So stop already. If you're looking to stop that dirty, filthy habit of yours, all you need to do is go to 975dip.com, 975dip.com. It's cleaner, hemp in a pouch made of hemp with CBD oil. CBD American Shaman says we love it so much, we're carrying it. It's happening right now. You need to get out of that dip and get into this one. 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for Dell to inform us who had the shippiest talk this week. Who was out there slinging ship, Dell?
Well, we're going to go out to Los Angeles. Well, Anaheim, really. Wayne Redonzo. Redonzo is the Angels play-by-play man. And why are we paying attention to the Angels? Well, at one point, they had a rookie on a hot streak setting records, Nolan Schanuel. He was just out of college, and he was a guy, at least making the Angels a little bit interesting with his rookie hit streak, until Major League Baseball turned a hit into an error, and the Angels broadcast was not thrilled. And you might imagine why. And he rips Major League Baseball up and down. So we'll start with
negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous-looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of constant pitcher injuries. And yet, not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reached base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all the positivity from all over the social media world, how it impressed everybody to start your career. He was just in college last year. He was still playing college baseball at this point. And then they have that taken away on a base hit. It was a base hit.
It was a clear hit. It wasn't even really a borderline call. It was a clear base hit.
Yeah, like I said in the pregame show, the NBA doesn't take an assist away from LeBron James, and he's got a triple-double, and he's trying to add on that record. It just doesn't happen.
Do you know the Nolan Schanuel thing was even going on? I know we don't
know.
No. Well,
Nolan Schanuel.
He's a rookie.
Who's that?
Well, exactly. But apparently he was lighting up social media because of his reaching base safely streak until Major League Baseball retroactively took it away. And then the Angels broadcast, you know, talked about everything going on.
He was lighting social media up. I saw his name trending every day.
Did you?
No, I saw.
This is the first I've ever heard of this dude.
Well,
I don't think he's real. Is he a real person?
Yes. He is. Right. Well, apparently it didn't reach you guys, but baseball ablaze with Nolan Schanuel until baseball took away. We're going to stick with baseball. Here's noted baseball philosopher Ozzie Guillen on why guys are getting injured more.
You seem like in the same way, you mean like...
Running the bases.
Running the bases. Everything is about legs. I don't know. Yeah. Like I always say, John Kruk say, fat, never pull.
You can't pull fat.
Nope. All those eat right, be careful what you eat, no cheeseburger, here's the print. Nah, man, I remember those guys go here drinking 2, 6, 7, 12 Budweiser, give me 3 hamburgers and go get it, boys.
Didn't go on the injured list.
And they play all year long.
Yeah, so I don't know, it's very confusing.
God, I mean, I cannot listen to that and not hear Lima. That sounds exactly like something Jose Lima would have said. And then you have 3 hamburgers, 6 Budweiser hamburger, a fat don't poo. What? I could have totally heard Lima saying all of that.
Oh, yeah. Lima would have said
all of that. Exactly. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, well, it was because of Robert. He got hurt again for the White Sox. He's just running around trying to be in shape. Yeah.
Stop trying to drink a bunch of water, eat lean, eat clean, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
I can tell you this right now. I am not going to pull anything right now, okay? Because I've got my Coors Lights, not Budweiser. I got my Coors Lights.
Not Modelo.
No, not my crappy Modelo, none of that. I got my Coors Lights, and I'm not pulling a thing, okay? That's all there is to
okay.
it.
Okay. Let's move on to – we talked about Ime and the way he coaches. Let's hear a story about his mentor, DeJounte Murray. You might have missed it because it's Hawks basketball. He put up 44 points in the game. Of course, he took 44 shots because why wouldn't he? This is him talking about Pop, who called him after that game. All right.
It was no bullshit from day one. Like, from day one. Like, he just texted me the other day, like, yeah. You took 44 shots past the ball. Like, you know, like, that's our relationship, yeah. though. Yeah. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I love that dude to death, man. Like, he was a father.
So, if we're wondering where Ime got it from, it's from that guy.
You took 44 bleeping shots past the ball.
To get 44 points, by the way, so Pop had a point. Now, they went on to win the game against... I don't know, was the Celtics, I think, but Pop had a point. We've been talking a lot about the WNBA and Caitlin Clark's transition. Well, here's Diana Taurasi, who had a show, like a side broadcast during the game with Sue Bird, discussing, but this is her first on Scott Van Pelt, and then on her show talking about who she'd take, Paige Bueckers or Caitlin Clark.
Camilla's coming. Caitlin's coming. There's more than just that are coming. What will the league have in store for them when they get there?
Look, SVP, reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period where you're going to have to give yourself some grace as a rookie. And, you know, it might take a little bit longer for some people.
I'm taking Paige. Next question.
So if you had the number one pick this year, you would take Paige over Caitlin?
Absolutely.
I like that energy.
That was Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi at the end. And Diana, she was very, as you might imagine.
Where did they go to school?
UConn, huh. Oddly enough.
Huh.
Oddly enough, they're taking Paige Bueckers.
I'm taking Paige.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's crazy, though, if you want to know the truth.
Paige Bueckers? Except they, Sue is a scorer. And,
yeah,
I mean,
you can't do it because of the PR. You I mean, just the PR itself.
Oh, to say Beckers. Yeah, although Don Staley said she'd be the first. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, maybe the PR. But, I mean, the answer is obviously easy when it's the point guard. Beckers kind of disappeared in their game. In the second half, she was not a factor.
Yeah, they got after a little bit. Yeah. Final thing is furthering my agenda. Merrill Hodge noted for evaluating quarterbacks, getting some right, they go viral. The ones he gets wrong don't go as viral. Well, he was on a podcast with Henry Lake or a radio show with Henry Lake, and he discussed my favorite quarterback, Drake May.
Drake May will get you fired. Drake May's the kind of player that gets you fired. And especially you draft him in the top five, in the top three, you know, he's going to get you fired. And for, let's use the process and accuracy, I am not seeing, I cannot, Malik Willis might be the only guy I could think of that is as erratic as Drake May. It is, I studied him for 2 years, and I am telling you, I have yet to find, actually, I'd say probably his best game. I watched every one of his games last year. It's probably the Pitt game. And that was an average football game. His last game, the NC State game, was the most embarrassing display I'd ever seen from a guy who's supposed to be an elite franchise quarterback.
What?
Come on.
What?
Come on. Merrill's overdue. This is the most embarrassing display.
He was bad against NC State.
He was, but Merrill's, look, I'm with him that there's a lot of, we're all on that side, but Merrill's really, I think he knows that if he puts the screws to guys and he hits, I think he likes the fact that his old stuff came up and went viral. That was a little, was that not a little much, John, to like, he was an embarrassment.
The most embarrassing.
I mean, he was the most embarrassed. I've never been so embarrassed for a person in my life. What a disgrace to football and a disgrace to that uniform.
He's as erratic as Malik Willis.
You are, I mean, that's.
If you want to talk about disrespectful.
That's a lot of talk right there. Malik was really.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
I had to tell people that Malik actually had bad tape, and that was not like, wait, what? I'm like, I mean, his tape is actually bad. I know that I'm using a projection grade, so I'm higher on him than his tape is on my grade. But also, I just didn't feel like catching a bunch of heat from people. But why do you have Malik Willis there?
Look at Lance. This is Lance's evaluation. He's afraid of the smoke, so he gets better grades than he should.
Yeah, yep. I don't want to be called a racist and lose my job. One guy already got – the guy I took over for got called that for comments he made about RG3 and Cam
the Rockies.
Yeah. But anyway, and he was just saying a person – he was trying to write it like a real NFL scout. You can't do the – public's not ready for all the other stuff. Well, frankly, it doesn't need to be out there in the public anymore.
Well, Malik Nabers got slandered. Let's talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.
By Wendy?
Not by – no. By Wendy.
Fan? Okay.
No, but it was by one of your people being reckless again.
Germans?
Yeah. He might have been a schnitzel.
Maxie
I don't know.
Maxie Kleber said something about Malik Nabers?
Maxie said something?
he might have. He might have.
Did Dirk Nowitzki go off on him?
We will hear.
I'm American. I'm not German. I don't even speak once. But I could speak. I think I could go to Italy.
You don't speak any German?
Well,
no, I don't speak
any. Ich bin der von Klon und Unstein.
I knew.
Are we sure?
As soon as you asked that question,
are you
sure
you don't speak German? This is pretty clear.
Those words did not mean
Ich bin der von Klon und Unstein.
It sounds German, because I'm good at doing imitations and silliness.
You speak fluent.
That's fluent German to us.
You know what you need to speak now? Air conditioning. Vanderford, air conditioning.
I'm fluent in Vanderford air conditioning. I had them come out and give me the checkup that they do. This is pretty much essential for people who are going to get into the summer months. They come out and do a full-scale inspection. They take pictures of everything that you need to see. They clean out your line, which I had 3 years of not having my emergency drain cleaned out. Oh, my gosh. The stuff that came out of there, holy crap, was I close to having a backup that could have turned into water all upstairs in my attic that would have come through the roof and been a big pain in the butt. But that was one of the things. There was something that had come loose from the actual unit itself. They showed it to me because they unscrewed it, looked at all the different parts of the unit. They showed where they simply put a bracket in and screwdriver and put that back in place the way it was supposed to do. They do a heat load on every single one of your rooms to make sure that your room is cooling properly. They crank the AC down low and make sure it's working. And if it's working great, that's a great peace of mind for you. If there's something that needs to be fixed and needs to be improved, they can do that for you at a very reasonable price. And if it's getting time that you need a new air conditioner, then they're going to find the air conditioner that is going to work for your home and what you need cooling. They're not going to get a unit that's too big, and they're not going to get one that won't cool you properly that's too small. They get a unit that is just right in there, and they have 0% financing to help you make that decision. Listen, there's never any additional charges on emergency work or things like that. They understand you got to be cool. Vanderford is a company you can trust, and they will get out to your home same day within 24 hours. Make sure that you have this number ready, 281-557-COOL. That's 281-557-COOL, or go to VanderfordAir.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Okay, so Tony Pauline catching it. He's catching it from Jordan Schultz right now. Do you know either of these guys, Lance?
Yeah, I've known Tony for a long time. He's actually been on our show before. You wouldn't remember it, but Tony talks the way you would. Listen, I'm telling you, Tony is a very New Jersey guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you hear him talk, he's Jersey, and then he and Jordan Schultz are getting into it, you said?
Well, here's what Tony Pauline said about Malik Nabers.
Okay.
He says he has had to answer, there are off-the-field questions about Malik Nabers. The LSU junior, quote-unquote, is known as a high-maintenance prospect who may struggle in a big city. So there are off-the-field questions Nabers has had to answer during the draft process. Teams must feel comfortable with those answers if they're going to invest in an early draft pick and millions of dollars in his services. Are you getting any sense of this? Are you having off-the-field issues for Malik Nabers?
I've heard that he's low high maintenance, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about the big – I don't know what the big city stuff. I don't know about all that. But he's highly, highly competitive. Much more competitive than his teammate, Brian Thomas Jr., plays with a chip on his shoulder, is a little, he's a wide receiver. So he's got some of the potential diva. He's, once again, his whole thing has been he's just pissed off that Marvin Harrison Jr. is just considered this clear number one, and his entire thing has been about wanting to show that he's better than Marvin Harrison. So I love that competitiveness. There's some stuff out there that he's a little extra.
But I
haven't heard anyone say it would keep them from drafting him.
He was also arrested for carrying a gun on Bourbon Street last year.
Okay. Well,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I mean,
there's that.
You know, I'm going to tell you it doesn't super shock me, but because that's just, it's just where we are. So why would that be any different for a player to have one in Bourbon Street? It's a little concerning because if something goes down, who's to say? That's the kind of thing where it's easy for people to get a little frisky on Bourbon Street. People have drinks, and are you going to pull a gun out and do something terrible? Like, yeah, that's a concern. That's a concern.
So Tavondre Sweat also got a DWI arrest,
yeah.
Okay, in Austin. And here was a quote by a preeminent draft expert. I would be surprised if he is still on their board, speaking of the Texans. I mean, never say never, but I'm not sure the Texans want to disrupt momentum with a player they may not be able to trust. That is just a guess. Do you agree with that statement or disagree with that statement?
I agree with that statement. As a matter of fact, I agree with everything having to do with that statement.
Okay. Okay. Because you're the one that wrote it, and you are getting aggregated, Dell. He's getting aggregated.
Yeah, and because aggregation sites or people who use quotes that don't belong to them tend to put their own spin on it. It's been classified as a rumor that the Texans won't draft Tavondre Sweat because of Lance's speculation about it Lance, are you reporting that the Texans won't draft Tavondre Sweat?
No. As I said, as you read there, my guess is he won't be off the board. My guess is,
but that's just a guess.
There's a chance
it's
that he'll
just
be
a guess.
Yeah, and I said that.
Correct.
You did say that,
but according to the article, rumor, Houston Texans won't draft.
Yeah,
Tavondre
see, that's
Sweat.
What's so, and people act like new. There's nothing wrong. Look, there's a lot of new media stuff that's great, but the fact that there's no safeguards or checks in here, they will tag that to get engagement. They'll say that's the rumor. There's no rumor. I said in my tweet, that's my guess. I don't know anything. That's my guess. And that's what it is. I already thought that's not the body type for I don't think he's a body type player that D'Amico's going to love. There's, you know, if you really want to know the truth, Tavondre Sweat missed time at his workout facility. When he was supposed to be getting ready for the, you know, for the Senior Bowl and all that stuff, he weighed way over his 366 that he had weighed. It was a big issue, big concern. He wouldn't weigh whenever he was at the Senior Bowl. Then he got his weight down to 366. I give him credit, kept it at 365 for his pro day. That's still heavier than it needs to be. A lot of extra body fat on there. But he gets caught day drinking at 2 p.m. on a Sunday where he has a DUI. I had somebody tell me, you know, somebody believes that we're going to hear something else. Somebody in Dallas tells me, we're going to hear something else about maybe there was an accident that happened where somebody may have gotten hurt. We'll see. I have not seen that reported, but this is a guy in Dallas who is in the business. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, Sweat is showing it's strike one. Okay, number one, I don't know if I want that body type. It could be a D'Amico Ryans thing. When you look at all the players that he's brought in, they're more lean mass guys. Number two, you have a guy who has had a hard time keeping his weight in check, supposedly played in the 370s. During the season, according to scouts who went into Texas and they got the updated weights, he's gained over 100 pounds since he's been at Texas, which is, you know, it's one thing for a 220-pound tight end to become a 320-pound left tackle. That's one thing. Sweats is not great weight. I love the player, but you see a pattern of poor decision-making or a lack of discipline. And now he's 3 months, 3 weeks before the draft, really 2.5 weeks before the draft, actually. And we're about 2 weeks from the draft. Tavondre Sweat's out getting, you know, day drunk on a Sunday, driving around before the draft. The decision-making couldn't be worse. And every NFL team says, what will a player do with more time on his hands and more money in his pockets and more access? And I'm just telling you, the answer, why does D'Amico Ryans, I think that he'd be a great help. If you could get Tavondre Sweat down to 350 and keep him locked in. Dude, I would love to have him in the middle. But why in the world is D'Amico Ryans going to upset the apple cart? Why is he going to mess around with his team? I mean, he took a chance bringing in Joe Mixon. That's a little bit of a chance in and of itself. I don't think he's going to bring in a rookie who's never proven anything. I don't think he's going to do that and say, well, we've got some great momentum going. Let's take a chance. The old saying is the fourth round is where all sins are absolved. So NFL teams believe Tavondre Sweat's going to go in the fourth round now. That he's not going in the second. He probably now won't go in the third. I think there's still a chance he can go in the third. But NFL teams that I asked about yesterday, and there were three of them, they said fourth. Chance at third, more than likely fourth. Because fourth is where you say, okay, we'll start taking our chances now. That's the old, the sins are absolved in the fourth. And I think that will happen with a talented player who's made a series of either bad mistakes or shown poor decision-making or no discipline. It's just, you don't draft those guys in the first two rounds.
Absolutely. The old Texans definitely wouldn't take them. This Texans, maybe. I don't know.
Do you remember Lewis Nix?
Yep.
Ta-da.
He didn't play it down.
Lewis Nix.
Camp.
Lewis Nix, weight issues, had work ethic issues. There was nobody from this organization that was there when Lewis Nix was drafted, so I'm not expecting them to remember him. But Nick's been in the league. Nick remembers Lewis Nix, I promise you, when he was with the Patriots. Lewis Nix was a perfect example. You drafted him in the third round from Notre Dame, had much better talent, and he was a complete washout. Wilson from Georgia Bulldogs. Real character red flag stuff going in, but actually didn't have any of these issues pre-draft. Did he ever play a game for the Tennessee Titans as a first rounder? Like, you got to be careful if you don't fully believe in some of these guys. Now, you know, like I said, Tavondre Sweat's getting drafted, and I hope he ends up being a really good player. We'll see.
Yeah, and hopefully he gets his life, you know. That's a tough way to become an
NFL. His agent's here in Houston, by the way.
Sure is a bad way to go into the NFL draft, that's for sure. 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to come in, you are more than welcome. Right now, you got to talk about John Daspit.
John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, how we doing? Do you need someone to represent you or a family member, maybe a coworker? Have you been injured on the roadway, injured at the workplace, injured due to someone else's negligence at all? There's a wide variety of ways that this can happen. John Daspit is the guy who is going to represent you and fight for you. His law firm, they're 70 deep across the state, 10 different offices around the state of Texas. They are the biggest here in Houston. You know, his commercials are more NIL-based and more classy. He's not standing on top of trucks or shooting a flame torch in someone's face or whatever. He doesn't do the gimmicky stuff. He just gives you great representation. Make sure that all the bills are covered, all the physical therapy, the surgery. Your pain and suffering means something to him. So he's going to make sure that he gets the most that he can for your pain and suffering, because you didn't ask to be injured through someone else's negligence. And what happens most of the time is the insurance companies will get to you quickly with a settlement and try to make you take less. And in some cases, unfortunately, it does not cover future issues with surgeries that are going to be needed or physical therapy. So this is something that needs to take a little bit of time and let John Daspit and his law firm do their work. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.